We present a further episode in the radio series based on the world-famous BBC comedy success, Steptoe and Son. With Harry H. Corbett as Harold.
It ain't natural. A bloke of my age living at home. He'll never alter. Herod was a better father than he is. And Herod didn't have no television and bingo neither. Go on, get up. Get up, Miracles. Go on, let's get home. Home.
And Wilfred Bramble as Albert.
Mademoiselle from Armentiers, only is for 40 years in Kipinky Bar. There's no getting away from it. A uniform does something for a man. Yeah, it still fits me. Let's have another look in the mirror. Madness. I bet Kitchener could still be doing with me. I'd show up some of these sloppy fairies in today's army. Ask any soldier. Yeah. Right, turn. Quick.
And this week, Pilgrim's Progress.
Left, right, pick him up, left, right, mark time, hold. Yeah, me cap still fits me as well as ever. So does me tunic. Buttons and leather come up a treat. To the front. Shoot! By the lip. Quick. March. Hip. Hip. Turn. Hop. Now for some rifle practices, exercises. Fixed bayonets, yeah. Whoop! Me thumb. Ooh, now port arms. Hey, how, on guard. Hey, how, on guard. Hey, how, on guard.
Go on, get in there, you mingy great twit. Get in, you.
Let's see some blood. Hey, how, on guard.
What the hell's going on in there?
Hey. Out, on guard. One in the guts, one in the kidneys.
Come on,
what's that?
Come on.
Deutschland kaputten, mein Herr.
What do you want to creep up on me like that for? You might have got this bayonet stuck right up your kyber.
I just thought you might like to know the armistice has been signed. It is all quiet on the Western Front. You can go home now, Tommy. Oh, there is homes fit for heroes waiting for you. Oh, it's going to be a new world, lad. It's all going to be different. Why, there's going to be 2 or 3 years of full employment waiting for you. What about that? Now, don't turn Bolshevik, lad. Go home to Blighty. Work hard to keep the upper classes in the manner to which they have become accustomed. And don't forget to end in your rifle, lad. They're going to need that to turn against you when you goes on strike in 1926. But never mind, the means testes are coming, so don't forget. All together now, pack up your troubles in your old kid bag.
Smile. Shut up. Stop it!
Come on, then!
Stop it!
Sing
up! You wouldn't carry on like this if this knife was loaded.
I've got my hands up, comrade. Comrade, careful, comrade!
No, I'm sorry. You're quite right. No, it wasn't your fault. You didn't stand a chance, did you? They got me as well in the next lot. I went, same as you. Just as young, just as gullible.
You're in a right mood. What's the matter with you? Had a bad day?
I always has a bad day. And the thought of the next 5 days doesn't exactly send me into hysterical ecstasy.
Oh, fine start to holiday this is.
Holiday? A cheap flight to Paris for a 5-day tour of the World War I battlefields?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I'm not.
Oh, don't be like that. You promised to take me. I always said I'd go back one day. I'd like to see it again before I die. You said you wanted to go.
I didn't. I said I'd take you. And I wish I hadn't. I want to go south. I want to get a bit of the old current bum before the winter gets here.
You get sun in Flanders sometimes?
But it's what goes with it I was looking forward to.
and I do not anticipate finding much bikini-clad crumpet leaping about the shallows and a barbed wire on Hill 60.
Birds again.
Yes, birds again. And why not birds again?
They only get one holiday a year. I had it all worked out this time. Saint-Tropez.
Saint-Tropez. Just because you read there's a beach full of nudes down there. Disgusting.
There is nothing disgusting about naturalism. It is a perfectly healthy, natural way of living. Any nastiness attached to it is purely in the mind.
But when we go to Saint-Tropez next year, I'll come with you.
You? At Saint-Tropez?
Yeah. I might even strip off and go down on that beach.
At your age, I'll turn it up.
What do you mean?
Well, Methuselah was in better nick than you was when he was dead.
I'll have you know my physique ain't changed since I was 17. Look at this uniform. That's smart, that is. Fits me as well now as the day it was issued.
Oh, don't tell me you've always been that shape. Oh, you poor old man. Oh, I'm sorry, Pater, I had no idea. Oh, what a handicap for a young lad to suffer under. Oh, trying to pull the birds, looking like that. Oh, the truth's coming out now, isn't it, eh? Eh? When you always tried to give me the impression you was a big, strapping six-footer once, and you'd shrunk with old age.
I never said that.
Oh, yes, you did. When I was a little boy, I distinctly remember you telling me you was in the guards, but you got slung out because your eyes were so far up your forehead you couldn't see where you was going.
I never said I was in the guards. I said it was attached to them.
What was you, the mascot? No, don't tell me. The goat was ill and you was the only one that smelt most like him.
I was an infantryman. 2 years in the trenches I was, fighting the most bloody war in history. Have you got any idea what that means? It was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, I know, Dad. I'm not trying to knock it. I just don't understand why you want to go back there. I mean, it's over 50 years ago, Dad. It's all gone.
Yeah, I just want to go, that's all. It's a sort of sentimental journey. Pilgrimage, if you like. There's a lot of memories for me out there. We look like old men when we come back after what we'd seen and been through. I just want to see it once, that's all. I won't want to go back again.
Yeah. I suppose I might feel the same way one day about Aldershot.
Well, I don't see why. You spend half your time in the glasshouse. You haven't got no pride in your regiment. You was never a soldier. Yeller, you were. Scared out of your life.
Of course I was scared, mate. Oh, no, look. I don't want to argue a toss about it. I've given up my holiday. I've said I'll take you to Flanders. You are going, so don't keep on about it. Have you packed?
Yeah.
Right, we've got 2 hours before the plane takes off. Go and get ready.
I'm ready.
You're not going like that.
I am. I had this uniform pressed and cleaned specially.
But, Dad, you can't go out dressed like that.
Why not?
You look like Kaiser Bill's Batman, mate. Well, I mean, people will... Oh, God, how can I put it? People will look at you.
I hope they do. I'm proud of this khaki jacket and these breeches and putties. Not everybody can make a good job of winding putties. Look, not a wrinkle.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's very nice. You do look very smart. But, Dad, I'm only thinking of you. I don't want people to laugh at you.
Laugh? Well, I don't see anything to laugh at.
No, I know, but, well, they'll think you're a little bit eccentric, yes. You see, they might not realise that you are entitled to wear it, and they'll think you're a bit of a twit, if you see what I mean.
A bit of a twit? It's come to that, has it? A man proudly wearing the uniform of His Majesty's British Expeditionary Forces, a bit of a twit.
Oh, that'll be daft. Look, I don't want to be stared at, pointed at and giggled at all the way from here to the Somme.
I never thought I'd see the day when my own son would be ashamed of me.
I'm not, but let's face it. I mean, you weren't the only one in the army. I mean, there was millions. They don't walk around in their uniform 50 years later.
All right, you made your point. I don't want to embarrass you. If that's how you feel, I'd wear me civvies.
Yeah, that's it. That nice blue serge.
Can I wear me medals?
Medals? I thought you sent them all back when the Beatles got the MBE.
No, I was going to, but I changed my mind. I am, if nothing else, a patriotic and loyal subject, and nobody's going to say otherwise.
No, I don't see any harm in you taking your medals. Okay. But keep them in your case.
In the case. Thank you. Only, if I can't go my uniform, I want to wear something a bit military-looking when I get over there.
Why?
So as they know I'm one of the ones that saved them.
Oh, they're going to be very grateful, mate. Oh, yes. When the French government knows you're coming, they'll send up a squadron of fighters to escort us in, mate. The state visit a private Steptoe.
Viva! Viva! Merde! Merde!
A 21-gun salute will be fired as he steps out of the aircraft, and who knows, with a bit of luck, one might hit him.
You have to take the mickey, don't you?
I'm not taking a mickey, Pate. I mean it. Have you packed your tails for the banquet at the Elysis Palace? You can't get up and reply to the toast of the Entente Cordiale dressed in Charlie Harris's laying-out suit. No, no, no. You just have to have a diplomatic cold, that is all. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, well, come on, then. Time's getting on. Can't we get changed? We have to be at the airport 3/4 of an hour before the takeoff. Now, hurry up. Run along and change. London Airport won't wait for Albert Steptoe.
All right, then.
Oh, Dad?
Yeah?
Don't forget your medals in your case.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Who are you?
I'm your hostess.
I don't want one. I've read all about you lot. You come and sit with us and drink coloured water of 15 and 60 time. I'm surprised a state airline allowing it.
Dad, she's not that sort of an hostess. She is a stewardess.
I must apologise for him. It is his first flight, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to France.
Yes, we all are.
I'm going to tour around the battlegrounds, see the trenches and all that, the dugouts, the shallows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was in the First World War. I'm 66, I am. Don't look it, do I?
No, you don't.
This is my son, Harold. 38 he is. Not bad looking, is he?
Dad.
He's healthy, too. How old are you, miss?
Dad, be quiet. Come and sit down.
Oh, I do apologise, miss. He's getting a bit senile, you know.
Oh, that's all right, I understand. Look, there are two seats down there. You can take those if you like.
Thank you.
Go on, Dad.
There's no need to shove. Anyway, I was only trying to do you a favour.
I don't need your help. I'm not a prize bull that has to be mated off. I'll do me own pulling. Sit down.
Oh, I don't know if I want to be next to the windows.
Well, what's the matter?
I've got butterflies.
Well, there's nothing to be frightened about. It'll only take 35 minutes. You go up and down. There's nothing to it.
Yes, it's how we come down worries me.
Look, Dad, statistics have proved that air travel is the safest form of air transport that there is. I mean, do you realise that you can be born on an aeroplane, live on it all of your life till you are 65 and never have an accident?
Yeah, that's all right, but I'm 66. Harold, I'm overdue.
But you wasn't born on an aeroplane, was you?
No.
Well, then, you've got another 65 years to go, haven't you?
Oh, I'll be 131 then. I'm not sitting in one of these till then, not for you nor anybody.
What are you... Look, just fasten your safety belt.
What for?
Safety.
What's going to happen?
Nothing's going to happen. It's just in case.
Just in case what?
Just in case something happens.
Let's go by train.
Sit down. Look, it's too late now. We're moving. Here, let me fasten your safety belt for you. Give it. That's it.
Harold, I'm scared.
What? The line of Passchendaele scared? Oh, yes, of course, this is the most dangerous part, the takeoff. I mean, if anything's going to happen, this is when it's going to be. Because the engine's just flat out, you see. He's got nothing in reserve. Or if anything goes wrong, there's nothing he can do about it.
Eh?
I will be all right, though, if we don't hit an air pocket. We'll fall like a stone if we do.
Oh, the
look at me. I'm sweating like a pig.
I wouldn't have sat by the window personally, mind you.
Why not?
Well, if it cracked or anything, you'd be sucked out.
I wouldn't. You don't mean that.
Yeah. Didn't you see Goldfinger? The window broke. He went straight out. 18 stone he was. 12 foot long when they found him. Mind you, you'd go out without touching the side. Of course, I mean, you wouldn't know anything about it. I mean, you wouldn't be alive when you hit the ground. Your head would have exploded afore then.
You rotten little pig, you've been having me on. Wait, I'll get my arm back on you. Wait till I get you home. I'll put a spider in your room.
No, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, yes, I would.
No, Dad, don't say things like that. You know, I can't stand spiders. I don't even want to talk about them.
A big fat one with big hairy legs.
Dad, no.
And it'll crawl all over you when you're asleep and lay its eggs in your hair.
Stop it. Look, the engine is on fire.
And I'll put an earwig under your pillow.
No,
and it'll crawl right down your ear hole and eat its way through your brain and come out the other side.
I'm not listening. Stop it.
Who's scared now?
We're off the ground.
Look out the window, then, you twit.
Oh, Harold, don't leave me.
Oh, don't be daft. I couldn't leave you if I wanted to. Well, I ain't got wings yet, you know.
Step down, son. Best prices for old eggs. Take one of our cars. Yeah, have a route out when you get back, sir. Step down, son. Ex-serviceman. 14-18 Warmham. Take a card, madam. 30 bob on old sound machines. Copper, 45 bob 100 weight. Lead, £90 a tonne. Here you are, sir.
Dad, what do you think you're doing?
I'm canvassing. You never know. People that can afford aeroplanes must have some good stuff at home.
You've got all your medals on. Look, what do you look like? I could die of shame.
Come and sit down.
Molest me. Hey, I'll sir, take a card.
Stop that, will you?
I'm only trying to get some custom.
Now sit down there and behave yourself.
Yeah.
Totting on an aeroplane. Whatever next?
Harold.
What is it?
Him. The other side of the gangway.
What about him?
Why is he staring at me? I'm going to ask him.
No, Dad, don't.
What are you looking at?
I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to stare. I was just interested in your medals. Are they from the 1718 war?
Well, they may have been the 1718 war for you, mate. It was a 1418 war for us.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
It was all over by the time you got there. The Yanks are coming.
Oh, Dad, don't stop that again.
Well, it's true. They was hardly in it.
Well, now, that's not exactly true. I was in France myself. We had some very tough campaigns. If it hadn't been for us, it would have gone on a lot longer. You and the French, well...
The French? What have they got to do with it? They were tired out, whacked to the wire by 1916. We had to do it all on our own. We carried them for the rest of the war.
Excuse me, monsieur, I must protest.
Who are you?
You have insulted the honor of France. I hear you say we were, whacked to the wire by 1916. I say to you, monsieur, what about Verdun, 1917?
What about Verdun?
1 million French casualties. The flower of the French nation.
And what about the Somme? Twice, mate.
What about Shadow Theory, the 21st of July, 1918?
A poof, a picnic.
I beg your pardon.
Of course it was. A sideshow, that's all.
Oh, yeah? Well, we saved you, friend. We saved you in the First World War and the 42-45 War.
Oi, the 39-45 war, please.
You were late there again. Never saw a Yank for 2.5 years. Stood it alone, we did. His lot, the Frenchies, they turned it in again.
We did not turn it in. We were sabotaged. You British deserted us in our hour of need at Dunkirk.
Yeah, that's true. A great disaster, that was.
What was?
Dunkirk, a terrific defeat.
Never. What are you talking about? That was a strategic withdrawal.
Oh, Dad, don't lie.
You keep out of this. I've still got pride in my country, if you haven't. The British Army is and always has been the finest army in the world.
Huh. Poof.
Never mind her and poof. Never lost a war, we didn't. You doughboys make me laugh. You come over here in 1917 flashing your money about while we was in the trenches pinching all our women.
That's true, that's true.
Oh, come on now.
I wouldn't be surprised if you was the one that got at Maud Elliott.
Oh, gold. Not Maud Elliott again.
Who the hell is Maud Elliott?
My girlfriend. Well, she was until I found some chewing gum stuck behind her ear hole. She got a clout round it as well.
You're crazy. I didn't know any Maud Elliott.
19 Bombay Crescent, Shepherd's Bush. She was a tram driver out of the Putney garage.
I never knew any tram drivers, and it's hardly likely I'd forget a female one.
Yeah, well, some yank rang a bell and forgot to pay for the ride.
Très amusant. That is very funny.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, you English. You can never keep hold of your women.
We didn't have to, did we? We had plenty of yours, didn't we?
Ça, c'est trop fort, nous avez du culot!
Very friendly, they were very friendly. There's a lot of little English frogs hopping about northern France, I can tell you.
Monsieur! Monsieur, you have insulted the womanhood of la belle France, and I cannot tolerate such ungallant insinuations. I demand an apology.
You insulted our birds first.
Will you apologize?
No.
Then you leave me no alternative. Take this.
Ooh. All right, then. Well, you take that back with interest. Why, you pillaging little snail-eating frog, I'll murder you.
Stop it. Leave him alone.
Now, that's enough.
Be late in again when it's nearly all over. Mind your own business,
dog. Stop them, someone. Stop them. You, sir.
Line, line.
Stop them.
Have a nut. Would you please leave me alone? I just want to sit down. I'm not myself.
You are mad. All passengers, please extinguish cigarettes. Fasten their safety. We hope you have a pleasant
flight. Oh, for God's sake, we're going to land any minute. Oh,
keep your hands off me, son. I'll take on the lot of them.
That was a very good holiday, that was. 10 minutes at Le Bourget Airport. All night in a French nick. And deported back to England. I was never so ashamed. Walking through the streets with that dirty great bandage round your head.
Well, you got plasters on your face.
Give me that newspaper.
La Bataille de Bourget, that's what it says. The Battle of Bourget.
Now, you throw that away. How we didn't crash, I do not know. Oh, that pilot, I mean, he was simply magnificent. I mean, the way he controlled that plane when we was all falling into a cockpit, I mean, that was brilliant. You was like a madman at the airport. It was ridiculous.
Well, did you expect me to stand by near the British Army insulted?
Well, what about that yank and the French fella? I mean, the things you said to them.
Oh, that's different. They were true.
You might still have got away with it if you hadn't called the examining magistrate an old French puff. I mean, that was unforgivable.
Well, I didn't know he spoke English. I was under extreme provocation.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your little pilgrimage. I mean, just look. Just look at my passport. I mean, look at it. Go on.
Yeah.
Undesirable alien. What a humiliation. Well, that Saint-Tropez scrubbed out now. I mean, that won't let me in.
What about me? I'll never get to see Flanders. We'll just have to go somewhere else next year.
Yeah, you're right. Torremolinos. That's where.
Huh?
Oh, yes. The stacks of it down there. And it's cheaper. The cost of living, I mean. Yeah, that's where we'll go. Torremolinos.
Oh, you promised to take me to see the battlefields before I die.
What battlefields?
Well, I wasn't only in France, you know. I was with Allenby as well, in the desert.
Oh, not the desert.
I was a legend out there. I was put in charge of a tribe of Bedouin, the only Englishmen for miles.
Steptoe of Arabia, that's all we need.
Did I ever tell you how we took Damascus? The Turks was retreating in disorder. I was sitting on me camel when the order came through to charge. Oh. No prisoners, I shouted. I dug me heel into his hump and we were off.
Your white robes flying in the breeze behind you.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I think I've still got them somewhere. Hang on, I'll go and get them.
No, don't bother, Dad.
Oh, I don't know. It might turn out all right. Yeah, he might start a punch-up with some old Darab, and with a bit of luck, he'll get his tongue cut out. Come here, you dirty old effendi. Well, I'll cut your rotten tongue out with my skinning knife. Allah, Akbar, Allah, Allah, Allah.
You've been listening to Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett as Steptoe and Son, with Norman Mitchell as the American, Leon Thaw as the Frenchman, Alan Dudley as the German, and Wendy Hall as the air hostess. Written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, adapted for radio by Gail Pedrick, produced by Bobby J.